This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Are the Bengals still alive here? In my opinion, they are.
You talking division or wild card?
No, well, the wild card.
Yeah.
Because of the schedule, number one, but they have to win this game. They have to. I mean, the state that Dallas is in, they're horrific, and I realize the Bengals, you know, haven't exactly avoided losses to horrific teams this year. Although, actually, now that I think about it, the only bad loss they had was New England in terms of quality of opponent. And that's the one that's killing them right now. They lost to Kansas City by a point, Washington by five, Ravens in overtime, Ravens by a single point. They got killed by the Eagles, and then they should have beaten the Chargers, too. And that game was just flat out weird in the fourth quarter. But they're coming at you with Joe Burrow playing as good as he's ever played, with a healthy set of receivers, as good of a set that as there is in the entire league, Higgins and Chase. So if they win this game, they're 5-7. The Cowboys are pretty much broken. And I know they're coming off a very, I thought, fluky sort of win against Washington. That means nothing to me. They stink. They're getting blown out left and right for the most part. By the way, Washington has fallen on hard times, haven't they, Limits?
Ever since they played the Steelers. Have they won a game yet?
No, and they're now in the seventh place in the NFC, in the last wild card spot. They might not make it.
Dan Quinn went from coach of the year to losing to the guy that's going to get fired in Dallas at head coach.
Point being, they're going to beat Dallas, I think, on a Monday night. Then they have Tennessee. I mean, the Titans stink, don't they? And I know they beat Houston, but they're 3-8. They're just not very good. The Bengals have a chance to run off some games if they win this thing. Then they have Cleveland at home. That's a team they've already beaten, and they don't play well against a lot. I get that, but they've already beaten them. They're going to win that game at home. And then I think their season will come down to the game, well, the final two games, really, but the game at home against Denver, I bet you that'll be flexed to a night game. Long way of saying this is their game. They need to win this game. When I say this is their game, I mean it's their season. Boils down to beating the Steelers here on Sunday. So just know that you're going to be facing a team with that mentality. Because if they get to 5-7, I don't think it's unrealistic for them to get to 6-7, 7-7, 8-7, going into the Denver game. I just don't think that's unrealistic at all. Do you?
No, I mean, their schedule is the polar opposite of what the Steelers is, where it was difficult at first and then gets significantly easier. There's no reason why they shouldn't win the game at Dallas. I don't care that Dallas just won. Will Levis. And, I mean, division games are division games, but they have the Browns at home. In Denver, I mean, Are they a fluke? I don't think so. But there's still a team that Cincinnati should beat at home on paper.
Well, at least you go to that game. If I'm the Bengals, I got to get to that game with a chance. And the season's not over until you lose your ninth game. Then I think you're out of it. I think it's conceivable you get in at 9-8 if you beat Denver. But 10-7, obviously, the preferred way for them to get there is to simply not lose again. I don't know how realistic that is, but I think not losing over their next 3-4 games could be very realistic. But they got a tough one Sunday, and they got to get by that. That's the mentality that the Steelers will be dealing with. Denver plays at home against the Browns, then they get a bye week, then at home against Indy, and then at the Chargers. That's one. That's going to be a gigantic game. And I think the Chargers will win that game. So I think the Bengals are going to go into that Denver game, if they win this one, with a chance to break a tie for the seventh spot. I think they're very alive, and I think they're very dangerous. I don't know how other people feel about that at 412-928-9370. But I think that's precisely what you're dealing with here. But there's still some things to clean up from the last game, believe it or not. I want to hear Ben on different topics here. And I know you have a bunch of stuff from the football and podcast, which is great. He's great on it. Let's hear some, and we'll riff on it for a minute.
Let's start with Ben wanting Justin Fields to be used in a package of plays.
To me, it needs to be used. It's not every time you have a third and short or every time you have fourth and short. There still needs to be a package. It's 5 to 7 plays, which I think he did play. You know, 7 plays. I thought Justin, they, you know, his big 30-yard run was kind of a game changer. Kind of brought new life and gave us an opportunity. You know, you ask Justin to throw the ball late in the game when he hasn't thrown the ball in a while. Maybe that's a call he made. I don't know.
It seemed like he changed the line,
and he might have. He saw 1-on-1. You go to George Pickens. I don't hate that call. I just day after questions. But yeah, I mean, I like the Fields package. I just don't, it can't be every third and short or every fourth and short. It has to be used kind of like a sparingly, has to be used in the right time.
Well, let's hear the part about Justin being a receiver. That's what I'm more interested in.
All right, here's that one.
I would like to see, like, line him up at receiver a couple times. Put him at different spots. Because what that does, even if you don't do anything with it, is, again, any time that you can force an opponent to spend 5 minutes on something that they might never see, it takes them away from preparing for what they will see. So whether that's Danny Smith fake punting, fake field, like any of those things, force a team. You send a guy in motion on a punt. Anything you may do that's unique and different forces an opponent to at least consider or take a look at it during the week of practice. Let's start putting both of them on the field a little bit, just every once in a while. And you can still do the same thing. You can put them out at receiver and hand the ball to Nas like you were going to run a normal play. But having him a receiver now makes you think, like, okay, are they going to throw it to him? Are they going to run reverse pass to him? Are they going to – I'm not saying you have to put Russ at wide receiver, that the typical, like, okay, nothing's going to happen there, but I'd like to start seeing some unique lineup type play calling to just throw the defense into a little bit of a tizzy. Again, I like bringing Justin on some stuff. I'd like to see him in the red zone a little bit more, because I think what he can bring in the red zone can be very valuable.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable he just said. I've been talking for years about my dream backfield of having two quarterbacks / running backs who can do anything. I'm not sure Russell fits that bill right now in his career, but he can still move around a little bit. I'd love to see them on the field together at times. I'm with Ben 100%. How do we know that Justin Fields can't take a handoff or a pitch out or catch a pass? How do we know he's not Cordell Stewart? Do we know that? He's one of the most electric athletes in the league, is what he is. He came into the game the other night. Everybody knew he's a threat to run. What does he do? He takes off down the right sideline like a bolt of lightning. He thinks he should have scored. I do too. He said he wasn't really warmed up. That's what you get with this guy. So what's the difference between that and some sort of misdirection where Russ would pitch the ball to Justin Fields or throw a 10-yard pass? Who's to say he can't catch a ball too?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know. It seems pretty gimmicky. I mean, doesn't it? You're lining Justin Fields up.
No, it doesn't.
Are you lining them up right next to each other? Or are you lining Fields up as a wide receiver like Ben suggested to basically have him go in motion?
Anything. If Justin Fields on the field is again, one. I think he's a game breaker of a runner. He's electric with the ball in his hands. I think it's derelict of duty as an offense not to have the ball in his hands sometimes. Everybody, here's the thing, too, about this last game. Everybody is focused on the idiotic decision to have him throw a pass, and it was idiotic. And the fact that some other snaps with him didn't go well. What they're not so focused on was that the game was over, I think. The Steelers were done. The Browns had all the momentum. And they put Justin Fields in the game, and he completely turned the momentum with a 30-yard run. Completely turned the game back around, and the Steelers went from there and actually took a lead. So that's using him. I think in this game, they used him in the worst possible way and the best possible way. He's a change of pace when you're losing, when you're getting smacked a little bit. He should be a short yardage and red zone guy once in a while. And I think in this case, I agree with Ben. Only I think he's more than a decoy. How do we know you can't throw a ball to him? He's an incredible athlete. I would imagine he can catch a football.
Does Justin Fields, though, want, remember when Lamar Jackson was being talked about as should he run as a wide receiver at the combine?
Yeah.
And some of these other players, and he didn't want to buy into it.
Yeah.
I mean, for good reason. Would Justin Fields feel a similar way to that?
I don't care how Justin Fields feels. Right now, he's a gimmick guy anyway.
You're asking him to play like a Deebo Samuel type of role at this point, right? Like as a running back, wide receiver type of player?
That's what they're asking him to do anyway. They're certainly not asking him to pass except for third and four once a month where he throws a jump ball up there. He's coming in as a running back, as a running quarterback. You know, he might not like it, but that's the situation. And I just want the ball in his hands. This offense has been stagnant against good teams, against the crap teams on the schedule. They've eaten them alive. We know that, but guess what? There are no more, well, except for the Browns, but they're in your division, so it's a little bit different. There are no more Giants and Jets and Cowboys on the schedule. They're all done. It's time for big boys in a lot of ways, and I would even include the Bengals there. Those teams are done. When the Steelers have played good teams on offense, they've largely failed. I think they've played five teams in playoff position. One was Atlanta. They didn't score a touchdown. One was Denver. They had 13 points. One was the Chargers. They had 20, and they were brutal for a half. One was Washington, which is now a fringe playoff team, and they had a good offensive game. One was Baltimore. They didn't score a touchdown. So something got to change with the way that they approach games against good teams. And I know the Bengals' defense has not been good, so don't get me wrong on that. The thing is, they're probably going to need to score a pile of points to win this game. And if that means getting more creative in your use of certain people, namely Fields, then I'm all for it.
So are you suggesting lining up Russell Wilson for a play or two out wide as a wide receiver?
No, that's not what he said, and that's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying Justin Fields out wide.
What I'm saying, though, is, I mean, that could be because that's used in college offenses where they'll put a quarterback out basically as a decoy.
Yeah, no. Ben even said no interest in that.
I have no interest in that either.
I have interest in getting the ball in Fields' hands in different ways. Yes, I do.
You're going to throw Justin Fields a bubble screen?
I'd rather throw it to him than Cordarrelle Patterson in his current state.
Yeah, I would, too.
He runs like Cabali. Now that I'm not, well, I guess I'm
still angry at him.
Berating Cabali.
Yeah.
Cordero, I'm not sure Cabali isn't more explosive than Cordarrelle Patterson.
Off his Achilles injury.
That's got to go. If I'm Mike Tomlin, that's item number one is, listen, Cordero's not himself. He's either hurt or he's done. Please take him out of your red zone package. Please don't throw him a fade pass. Please let's not use him on a reverse. If you're going to do some things, some different creative things like that, how about Justin? How about that?
I really do wonder if it would hurt team dynamic because, I mean, we say, oh, I mean, come on, they got to get over it. But, I mean, people are not robots. Like, is Calvin Austin going to throw a fit if they're throwing bubble screens to Justin Fields?
Who cares what Calvin Austin does?
Yeah, that's what we say. But I wonder if that's something inside the building that they wonder and they talk about because they're dealing with human beings. I don't know. I'm sure it's probably a discussion.
Do your job. Be quiet and do your job is what I would tell them.
They're in the NFL. They're
Calvin
egos.
Austin. If Calvin Austin wasn't mad about never seeing the ball for months at a time, who cares what Calvin Austin thinks about anything? Honestly.
Oh, it could be Calvin Austin. It could be Pickens. I mean, I don't think anybody's concerned about Van Jefferson at this point, but
I'm with Ben on that one. Let me hear the next Ben clip, if you would, Limitless Wonder.
Yes, you may.
First, let me get to this fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Ben, questioning some of the decisions that Mike Tomlin made, should he have punted a couple of times on fourth down?
What felt weird to me is that it felt rushed.
The field goal.
The field goal felt rushed. Like was it a late field goal call? Was Coach Tomlin thinking about punting first? And then he's like, let's go field goal. Because it looked like the play clock was getting low. You know, like that's not like Boz is usually out there. He's ready to go. So like that's what it just didn't feel right to me. And then him missing, it was just like, man. But again, how upset are we going to get at Boz? Not at all. Yeah. 58 yards in a blizzard. I know it was before it got crazy, but the wind was obviously blowing out there. Missing that field goal was tough. I wondered just kind of my thoughts about some of the fourth downs and some of the decisions that Coach T was choosing. Like, I wondered in that kind of a game when you know that they're maybe struggling on offense and your defense is playing well, like, did he ever consider punting on some of those fourth downs or just trying to flip the field?
Sure.
You know, like, let's play the field position game. Because there were times, obviously, going for it on fourth down, going for a long field goal that you gave them great – you gave them the field position.
Yeah.
When, you know, let's punt it back, let's – play the game back and forth, but you never was. What Coach Tom doesn't want to live in his fears. So it's a Monday morning or Tuesday morning questions. Like, should we have played the game?
Well, then let's spin that forward. If they find themselves in similar situations in Cincinnati against a team they know they can score or that they know can score, are you still going to be that aggressive on fourth downs and things like that? Limits, are you going to punt the ball away? I kind of like the aggression myself.
I love that it always comes back to living in your fears.
Yeah.
It always does, or not. And I was completely okay with both fourth down
plays. Is Kabali living in his fears, do you think, generally speaking?
Yeah, you know, once you have a couple of Achilles injuries and other things that go on, I think you do live in your fears a little bit. Maybe he's not going to be playing in any turkey bowls anytime soon.
It seems to me he is in many ways living in his fears.